everybody. Welcome back. Time to grab your gear. Take to the road. As we chase down the entrepreneurs driving the e-bike revolution, talk to some of the love stories of those riding along. And today we're going to talk about how kind of a casual love story turned into a real commitment here to become an entrepreneur and a dealer in this movement. We're going to talk to two guys who started that journey just recently, right here in April. Scott Seneff and Travis Bryant. Welcome, guys. We'll start with Scott here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And your partner, Travis, welcome as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So this is going to be a little difficult for me today here because, again, we're in that part of the country that makes me see red. You're in Ohio, red Ohio, and I grew up in blue Michigan right next door here. So we'll try and keep it civil throughout this. But you guys have actually moved to the Columbus area, and that's where your store is, right?
Yep, right outside of Columbus in Powell, Ohio.
There you go. I know the area well here. And so, of course, you have your University of Michigan flags up everywhere. And
they're everywhere. Yeah. They don't fly, but they're everywhere.
They don't stay up for very long, but they're up there. Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought this is a fascinating story here because you guys had both you've done lots of things in your life, sales for various companies, and you met because you were working for a large home improvement company, both of you, right, in Columbus. Is that true, Scott?
Yeah, it's probably been about 8 years ago. Travis started in our former employer, and I had been there for 19 years, and he kind of moved up through the ranks, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
So neither one of you came from a bike background. I don't see anything here that you were lifelong bikers. If anything, you were probably more into motorcycles, right, Scott?
Yeah, I'd rode Harleys for 20 years and finally sold it last year once the electric bike thing started.
Wow, boy, there's a statement for a Harley owner to give up the hog and to hop on an e-bike. That says something about the enthusiasm you have for this whole thing here. All right, so Travis, I'm hearing that somehow, was it you or was it Scott that discovered these things on a vacation? I think it was you that was on a vacation somewhere in Florida.
Yeah, it was Scott. So Scott was down in Florida in 30A, and we had kind of talked about electric bikes a little bit, and he's sitting down there on a golf cart in front of the 30A store. There's the sign, you know?
Yep, just getting ready to go in and get some groceries, and we had bought electric bikes, a different brand,
right,
and had not had them delivered to us yet, but we knew the idea of them were something that was really going to take off, and
yeah,
spitballing ideas. And I happened to see the sign, and a few weeks later, kind of started to do some research.
Were you looking to get into another world? Were you looking to be an entrepreneur and not work for somebody else, Scott? Was that part of the motivation for this?
I mean, I'd always done some other things on the side. I don't know that I was actively looking for anything, but always kind of had my eye open for something that I could get involved in.
And, you know, that was the story last week. The dealer in Boulder, Colorado, was on a cruise down to Mexico. And her husband says, they get off in port in San Diego. She says, we got some time to kill. Let's rent an electric bike. Now, he kind of had an agenda because he'd been a hardcore bike enthusiast and she'd never really ridden. She actually had born with a disability in her leg that from a kid that made it hard. She'd never ridden a bike, even as a kid. So she reluctantly goes along, and that afternoon experience turned into a life-changing thing. Talk about stumbling you're on a golf cart going to a Publix. The Publix is the big grocery store chain down in Florida. You're going to a Publix grocery store, and you see a dealer in the plaza. Why wander in? Why even go there?
I actually never went in, believe it or not.
Never went in.
Yeah, we had ordered bikes, and we just liked the idea of them, and we were spitballing ideas like we always do.
Yeah.
You know, about random things we could start.
Over a cigar and whiskey, anything can come up, right?
That a lot of stuff comes up over that. we talked tour companies, we talked owning a shop, but we had no idea where to start, so it was kind of was meant to be once I saw that sign.
It's kind of like glowing. It's like in the movie, you hear this, you know, ta-da, and then this thing's glowing over the sign. You start going on the internet and checking this out. Why did you even think about getting an e-bike? What was the original impetus there? Just thought it would be fun, or you were thinking of a business?
I've asked Travis. I could blame all this on him. I'm not really sure how he started that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, at my previous job, I had gone to a customer's home, and they had an electric bike. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to him about it. You know, I hadn't been on a regular bicycle in, gosh, I don't know, probably 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And so I started doing a little bit of research. And then Scott, he came down here from Akron. That's where he's from. Mm-hmm. And one of his long lifetime friends up there actually had ordered one unbeknownst to him. So he went up there to visit him and sees an electric bike. And so we started doing some research. And before you know it, we both bought one.
And did you know at the time that there was a company like Pedego that didn't just sell them, but actually had dedicated dealers? That's the rare, one of the rarities of Pedego. You know, everybody else is selling these things online like it's, you know, just something you get from Amazon here in return if you don't like. But it's a pretty big thing to buy and to invest, and if it doesn't work or you got to assemble it, all these other things. I think that's what people are so turned off when they get these things through the mail, through the internet.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know anything about that, and I think that's where a lot of misconceptions in the industry come from. So it's like, you know, we end up buying these bikes, and, you know, shortly thereafter, hey, we needed service.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, you know, your traditional bicycle shop, you call them and they say, oh, it has a motor on it. Yeah, sorry, we don't work on them.
Yeah, right.
So then you're stuck calling the manufacturer. So it's, you know, we started hearing this a lot. You know, we started doing some research. We start hearing this from other consumers that bought whatever brand of electric bike they had bought.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of stuck with this paperweight. You know, it's
right. Because if you can't fix it, or you can't find the repart, or you don't know how to assemble it, or it just becomes so much of a hassle, it is a paperweight. It's like so many other things I bought over the internet or over television through the years, the rowing machine, the stationary bikes, all these things I got. And when I got it, it wasn't so easy to use. It wasn't so easy to assemble. And if something went wrong with it, I had a tendency to just put it aside and forget about it. And that, even if it was a big investment, I remember a rowing machine I bought. I think it's still sitting up in the rafters in my garage.
Yeah, I mean, it's so that's when, you know, once we really got into it and he saw that down there in Florida, and then we started having our own problems with the brand of bike we had purchased, you know, then we're like, well, here's a problem that needs a solution.
What did the other manufacturers say? I mean, because these are bikes are, you know, $1,000, couple thousand dollars or something here. These aren't cheap things. And what do they say when you call you up? Or they just send you a YouTube video. Or here's how you fix it. Or here's what you do. Or we'll send you the part.
Funny enough, so it's, you know, we call them and at first you get voicemails. You know, you don't get an actual person.
Oh, wow.
Press one for you know, customer service and leave a voicemail. We'll get back to you. So, you know, you finally get a call back, and next, you know, they say, okay, well, we're going to send you this part. We're not sure that this is going to fix it, but we're going to send you this. And so I think Scott was even sitting there. We were in my garage, my lounge that we built out. And I say to the guy on the phone, I said, so where am I supposed to get this fixed?
Yeah.
They said, just call your local bike shop. So I do, you know.
And most of the bike, I'm told, maybe it's not that way in Columbus, but I hear this all over the country. Either they don't know how to deal with it because it has a motor on it, or they don't want to deal with it because they kind of see this as the enemy. This isn't what we sell. This isn't pure bike riding. We didn't sell it to you. We don't like the whole thing. Get away. Is that the kind of reaction you got?
Definitely the kind of reaction we got. And even from customers who come in the store here, who have shopped at other bike shops, it's almost like they don't even want to sell their own electric bike here in town. It's very odd.
Yeah. So here's this growing enthusiasm for a product that seems to have certainly started with, at least with Pedego's case, the aging baby boomer like me, the person who hadn't been on a bike in a while, William Shatner's story, 90 years old, hadn't ridden a bike in years, but now he wants to get out and get active. And he needs a little help, as he says, I need a little assist to go over the humps in the hills, to get over that objection of why I can't go bike riding today here. And I want to keep up with my grandkids and whatnot. All these, and then from there, now I see kids in my neighborhood, right? Who's riding them in Columbus these days here? Is it everybody, or is it still targeted towards an older demographic? And I'll throw it to either one of you. You guys
it's
can...
everybody. I mean, we had somebody as young as 11 years old buy one. And
wow.
He bought one, and five or six of his friends now ride. We can look out the window here and probably see him cruise by here soon. And as old as 89 years old. So,
89. Wow. Isn't that it, what are the
89-year-old guy showed up before we even opened the store and wanted to buy one, and he was one of our first two or three customers we had.
So I can't think of too many products that have that wide of a demographic. I think of most products as a point in your life. I had the heavy duty mountain bike when I was in my 30s or 40s because I was pushing myself. I had a bike when I was a little kid, but all of that got put away a long time ago, and I didn't think about, I thought bike riding was behind me here. This seems to be something that you start with as a kid to get out and adventure and to get away and to go see stuff, and then at some point you almost come back full circle to, I want to get out of the house, I want to get out and with my friends, I want to go see stuff. Is it that? Is it just kind of a lifelong obsession about adventure and going seeing what's over the next hill, guys? What do you think?
I mean, are you talking personally or from our customers?
Let's start personally, because you guys had a personal passion, reason to buy these things here.
Yeah, I mean, personally, you know, the biggest thing was is the job that we both had. I mean, it was a pretty demanding job from a time aspect, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we were working, especially myself. I mean, Scott had made his way up to a management position and could work not weekends anymore, but
yeah.
Still had to be on call basically all week long at any time of the day and still on the weekends. But you know, it's so the biggest thing for us was we just wanted to be able to get out and do something. You know, he has twin boys. I have a 3-year-old son, and you know, at the time he'd put his kids to bed, him and his wife, and my wife and I'd put my kid to bed, and we lived close enough we'd go out and explore, you know, wherever at 8 o'clock at night till 11, 12 o'clock.
Go for a walk, take a drive, go somewhere here. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, whatever. I'll throw it back to the other half of the team here. What was your experience? What was your personal reason for wanting to do this? Just to get away, to get out again and get active?
He mentioned my boys, you know, that they were starting to ride bikes. You know, they were 4 at the time, 5 now. And, you know, I just wanted to be able to do something with them. I had a couple bikes that had just, you know, rotted away in my shed that I bought 8
right.
years before, brand new, nice bikes, and never rode them, and just looking for something to get out to do with them. Once they got on the bikes and we started carting them around town, they loved them. So it just kind of made it easier to transition and, you know, to wanting one myself. So.
And are people doing it for other reasons? We don't hear a lot of it, but we've heard some of it where people start off commuting. There was a guy in London who actually ended up becoming a dealer. He worked for I think he was a colonel in the Air Force in procurement or something. He worked for the American Embassy in London. And he said it was just a nightmare trying to get through London traffic. So for him, getting a bike was an easy way to get around. And then it became fun because he's going down the off alleys and lanes and past the pubs and all the other things that otherwise he would be just sitting in traffic ignoring. Is any of that in this too? I don't know what it's like in Columbus, if it's bike friendly, but do people use these to get around?
Yeah, there's quite a few people who are buying them just for their commute, working back. It's pretty bike friendly. I mean, it's not the most scenic route around here, but there are definitely bike paths that people are using them for.
Any practical uses? We've heard people in Houston talk about cops using them instead of horses now for crowd control, or somebody in Texas, somebody was using them for search and rescue kind of things to get off the beaten paths or to cover a lot of ground quickly. And because these are out hill country and people are out hiking, they get lost or something here. Any other unusual uses other than just fun and commuting? That you guys,
I'd say the most unusual use would probably be hunting.
Hunting. Well,
yeah,
why didn't I think of that? This is Ohio and Michigan. This is hunting country back there.
Yeah. It's becoming pretty popular because a lot of the places these people go, they can't take their four-wheelers and disturb the land.
Sure.
And they're loud, so they're using these as a quiet mode to get where they got to go.
And you want to sneak up on the deer. You don't want to come racing in with a ATV, a four-wheeler here, and scare everything away for the next 24 hours here, right? Well, that's obvious. Okay, so you've got now. Hear that, Don? We need a hunting bike here for.
We are actually in the process of working on some mounts for some of these hunters around here.
There
like
you
rifle
go.
And bow yep. mounts and things like that.
Yeah, and a way to secure the guns and so it doesn't exactly. fall off and go off or something here, and it's locked. Somebody's not going to take it if you leave the bike for a second here. I mean, I can think of all sorts of crazy things. I wasn't a hunter myself, but boy, I was the exception. Everybody back there, when hunting season hits, the whole towns would clear out in Michigan, and I'm assuming Ohio too, in Pennsylvania, that whole area that's just hunting crazy out there. My brother-in-law was
hotels
just
hotels are booked.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then it's half the time it's just having cigars and whiskeys and sitting up in a cabin somewhere. I don't know how much hunting actually goes on, but you get out and you get into the wilderness there.
It's really is important.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the winter it's fishing. Why not go? Why not take these out onto the lake and go ice fishing as well here? Why not?
Right.
Take your gear. But yeah, if you could grab all your gear and go further and get way out, why not? Absolutely. Because otherwise you are trying to drag all this stuff in and out here. All right. So that's an unusual one here. What is it like in the winter? When Don first got me involved in this and said, I want you to host this. And I thought, well, this is all going to be sunshine states. This is all going to be beach communities like it is here in Southern. I think it started here in Southern California along the beaches here. Don's first shop was along the beach here. And now we have stories talking about Canada or British Columbia and Michigan and Ohio. It snows, believe me, buddies. That's why I left there 100 years ago. Way too much snow for me back there. What do you do with your Pedego in the winter?
Well, we'll let you know after this weather.
a little premature here, yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. You know, I think what we've really been telling a lot of our customers currently is you know, hey, you're buying your bikes. Most of our people are buying bikes from us at the beginning of the spring, now into the summer.
Sure.
Hey, bring them back in for service when it's snowing. You know, so we're gonna try to really get really service busy. But also, I think we're gonna do some winter tours.
Yeah.
You know, do some snow riding if we can get some snow. Work on getting people out there. Because I think, you know, that's a big thing around here. You know, you grew up in Michigan. After a long winter, you're tired of being in the house.
Oh, absolutely. You know? They always said, you know, when summer finally hits in that part of the world, yeah. I don't care if you've got a cold or if you feel tired, you're getting outside. Because it's only going to last a couple months here. So, damn it, we're going to get in the boat. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to go ride a bike. We're going to be outdoors and enjoy it. I don't care, kids, if you don't want to do this. It's nice out. We're going outside. We're not sitting inside.
It's 45 degrees. We're going outside now.
Yeah. I've been sitting inside too long. I'm going outside every day for as long as I can. So I'll bet a lot of people would ride bikes in the winter. I guess that would have to be a fat tire bike to handle it, more like a trail bike.
That's
or something.
Our plan. You know, we're gonna really start trying to nail down the details as we get closer to the winter here, because you know, fortunately in Columbus anymore, most of the time it doesn't get real cold.
Yeah.
In November, you know, so yeah. It's we've got some time there, but I think that we'll be able to put something together and be pretty successful from a tour aspect. And that ultimately will help, you know, get more people on bikes.
Well, I know it's snowmobile country. Everybody gets on their snowmobiles. And why not get on your e-bikes as well? Get out and get active and get out there. Because anything you can do to get out of the house, that's the number one thing. When you've been sitting month after month back there, you can definitely get stir crazy sitting in the house too long here. So you have to come back on and tell us how that works, because I think I've been afraid to ask other dealers in other parts of the country, but I figure you guys, we can talk how it really is. It's cold back there. I don't know if Columbus gets as cold as Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor was the worst. They get off the lake and that kind of belt that runs all the way over to Chicago there. We'd get massive. I haven't been there in 100 years, so maybe it's not as bad as it used to be. To get pretty deep snow out in that whole area where I grew up and where I went to school. And yet people would get out. Like you said, it would get up to 45 degrees and everybody's out in shorts like it's summer. Yeah, it's warm.
Yeah.
Hard for people to grasp that anymore. If it goes down to 65, I got the heat on in my house now here. I'm in Southern California. Right. You know, I can't take this. All right, so here's the most surprising stat in all the stuff they showed me here. You opened the store on April 2nd. I appreciate you waited one day so it wouldn't be April Fool's, but you opened up the...
That's actually why we did that.
Yeah. Is it really? I figured so. Yeah. You don't want to be forever known as the April Fool's here. Oh, those crazy guys, they opened a bike shop here. What an e-bike shop. But since then, they tell me that in terms of sales of the couple hundred dealers around the country, you guys have been in the top 10. And in June, even went so high as number one in the country. What is the secret? You guys never sold e-bikes before. This isn't what I picture the heart of e-bike country outside of Columbus. What is the secret sauce? Tell us.
That's the million-dollar question.
That's the question Dom wanted me to ask more than any other. How the heck are you doing it back there?
I just shared with them the other day. I think it's just the background we come from and trying to create an experience for the people when they come in, where it's more of a conversation and just having fun, just learning about these bikes in a different way than a traditional bike shop. I think we just have a lot of fun with the people when they come in. That combined with the knowledge, I mean, we knew a lot about electric bikes before we even started, just mm-hmm. based on our journey to this whole thing. So it seems like we've been doing this for 10 years and sounds like it, but we really haven't.
So. Any trouble learning the product? You guys, what I'm told, are tinkerers by trade, sort of. I mean, you were in, what would you call it, home improvement? So this is like, what, building out basements or something?
I mean,
here?
We were in sales. I mean, our nails never got dirty. But,
okay.
You know, but Travis, though, he's the tinkerer. He grew up, his family owned an auto body shop, and that's what he did for years. So he could change, you know, a diesel engine on a truck. So learning a 749-watt motor is pretty easy.
Pretty so. Piece of cake. So what do you think, Travis, did it come? Because that's, I think, one of the intimidations when people get into the business. We've had a lot of them on this show. Almost yeah. none of them have a bike background. I mean, very few of them. They all come from some other second-act career. Airline pilot, bank president, a Wall Street bond trader. I mean, these are some of the real people that have stumbled into opening an e-bike store here. Most of them kind of a second act career, something fun, something a little more mom and pop oriented. They wanted to be an entrepreneur. They wanted something that's fun. That seems to be one of the key. But is it intimidating to sell a product that does have gears and motors and stuff to it?
I mean, especially not for me. You know, the biggest thing I tell everybody, and everybody that comes in the store, they get, you know, they look at us, they go, oh, so you guys do the sale. You guys do the repair here too? You guys do that yourself? And they look at me and I go, yeah. I mean, you know, my folks, they opened up an auto body repair shop and mechanical shop. I mean, gosh, I had to be 4 or 5 years old when they opened that up. So I always say, you know, I grew up with a wrench in one hand and a screwdriver in the other.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I'd take anything apart and put it back together. And if I didn't know how, I figured it out.
And I hear more and more people, the dealer in Boulder, this woman who had been in academia, she has a doctorate in like educational equity or some field of, to me, strange field of study here, but she was a dean and all stuff. She wasn't a tinker. She was an academic. But when they got the bite and decided to take the plunge, she said, I've learned how to fix these things. She said, that's one of the most fun things I like to do is go in the back and tinker with these. She said, who knew? I never played with anything. Is it fun to fix them?
It is fun to fix them at this point, you know, because I've even told Scott, you know, when I was, it was frustrating when you were working on automobiles because it's very tight, you know, tight
yeah,
areas
right.
and not a lot of room to work with. At least on a bicycle, you know, it's mechanical for the most part.
Oh,
so it's like,
yeah.
hey, if something doesn't work, I'm going to figure out why. And it is fun for me to figure that out. So it's kind of the thrill of, you know, learning something new and working with my hands again.
And I'll tell you what I would, because I'm not a tinker. I'm not, you'd have to, I could work with a screwdriver, but you'd have to point out what one looks like in the toolbox here for me to, you know, try. But I found that even, I have an old 56 Plymouth. I'm from Michigan. Of course, I have to have an old car here. And I can work on it a little bit. And there's room, there's space. When I open up the hood, I can see the parts. when I open up a hood today, it's just one big, massive part. I can't even see beyond the surface. I can't see where all the computers and all the stuff stuck together. So it's so complex, I can't work on it. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't work on it. A bike seems to be kind of old school, old fashioned. There's a gear. There's a something, you know. There's a chain.
One part makes the other part work.
Yeah, right. This does this and makes this other thing work. Well, it seems like the two of you have made this work somehow here from just kind of a hoot and an evening pursuit, sitting around with a cigar in one hand and a glass of whiskey in the other. Believe me, I've spent many nights back in the Midwest at probably sitting around a fireplace somewhere, too, just talking. You've turned it into reality, and not just any business. Sounds like a really thriving, growing business. My hat's off to both of you. Where does it go from here? Last question. Any thoughts to right now? Do you even have employees? Is it just the two of you?
Funny you say that. We just printed off at least forms to hire an employee.
See, I knew that.
We finally got payroll sort of set up, so that's next on the agenda. And I believe we're going to start looking around for a second location here around Columbus to open next spring.
Wow, it's a beautiful town. It is a college town, so I would think college towns, is that an easier place? Are there more people? Because you got students trying to travel across campus. There's a guy that owns a store. We talked to him across from Stanford up here in Northern California. And he said he didn't expect it, but he gets a lot of professors and football players and other people that are picking up e-bikes because they want to get around the sprawling campus. And then there are other corporate campuses nearby. It's nearby Google's sprawling campus. And people they're out walking these things. Why not take an e-bike and make it even easier and quicker to get around? Any of that? Because Ohio State's a pretty big campus.
We haven't had any campus people in here yet. I think we're a little far away, but our next store will be more geared towards downtown area, more than likely. So.
I think that's a market you should look at, because this guy said it was the unexpected find in his backyard. He opened up across from Stanford because he thought, you know, it's affluent and Silicon Valley and all that. He didn't think that he literally had football players and stuff at e-bikes, and that's how they get around campus. Who knows? All right. Well, okay. It's hard for me to say the word O-H-I-O, so I'll just spell it. But my hat's
off there.
A couple of times, I think.
My hat's off to you guys for seeing an opportunity and jumping on it, and for doing as much with it as you had. And I would definitely love to have you guys come back when winter hits, and find out if you've been able to. Do you have to shut the store down in the winter? We had a dealer up, and I think it's like northern Michigan somewhere, and that's literally what they do. It's like Petoskey or someplace. It's a seasonal business for them, like so many things are up in that area. Or is there a way to run tours and get people out? I'll bet there is, because people love to be out in the snow. They don't want to sit inside all the time, so why not? I think I'll bet there's a business to be built around that.
Yep, we're pretty excited to see how that goes.
So all right.
We'll know when we get there.
All right, just don't do it any time around the Michigan-Ohio State game, whenever that plays out here, because you guys have been crushing us for too long. I don't want you to crow anymore about how dominant you've been over Michigan for the last 100 years or whatever it's been here. All right, thank you very much for joining us here. We have Scott Seneff and Travis Bryant, two of the newest dealers in the Pedego lineup here. And it sounds like they're hitting it out of the park down in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, there you have it. If that's not another reason to tune in, I don't know what is. As we ride along with the entrepreneurs who are making this up as they go along, driving the e-bike revolution in directions nobody ever knew. Maybe with snow tours. Stay tuned. We'll see what's next on the Pedego podcast.